Hey, this is the mayor of the airwaves. How you doing? It's another beautiful day in paradise. We have attorney Jennifer Peschke in here. We also have Laura Atchison, who is a writer. Now your book is selling well. What's the title of your book again?
What Would a Wise Woman Do? 67 weeks on the bestseller list.
Well, that's terrific. That's terrific. And, well, that's perfect because a wise woman would confer with Jennifer Peschke. I know her personally. She's very good at what she does. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Rhett.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Another beautiful day in paradise. Your law offices are on A1A, Jennifer Peschke, PA. And what does the PA stand for?
It's a professional association.
Okay. And what do you limit your law practice to?
I have a general civil practice. I do a lot of real estate law. I do a lot of foreclosure defense services, including short sales, loan modifications, deed in lieu of foreclosure, and also quite a bit of estate planning and probate administration at this time.
And you're a mother of two youngsters, right?
That's correct. I have a 5-year-old son named Jackson. He's in kindergarten at St. Helen. And I have a daughter named Sarah Beth, who is 2 and home with our nanny.
Oh, my word. And your husband works in town here, too. And so how do you keep these balls in the air? My word. You don't seem stressed.
Well, today I'm not. Really good electronic devices like iPhones and apps and things that make working as a mother and a professional, very easy these days.
Now, during this economic collapse, you've helped a lot of people keep their houses. Tell us what you do in that department.
I have been working with a lot of people with regard to a variety of foreclosure defense services. Probably since about 2008 to 2009, when the economic collapse began, and we started to receive a lot of calls for requests for assistance with foreclosure lawsuits. People have many defenses out there to try to keep their home, including modifying their loan if they want to retain the home or ridding themselves of the home via a process of either a short sale or a deed in lieu of foreclosure. A short sale is something the lender has to approve but can be negotiated and worked through if the parties are willing and able to do that.
Is bad credit, I mean, what I've been heard this talk on the street is that bad credit is forgiven a lot quicker because of the economic collapse we've had, 5 years ago. Is that true?
In my experience working with my clients, we see if someone modifies their loan and their credit goes down during that time period, once the loan is modified and the loan modification documents are recorded, the credit does begin to go back up. Within about 2 years, it should be back to where it was.
Really?
That's the same for a short sale. The bankruptcy is obviously the worst still and will hit your credit for about 7 to 10 years.
7 to 10 years.
Yes.
So somebody goes bankrupt. Do you do that too?
No, I do not file bankruptcies, but I do know a good amount about it just because of the overlap between foreclosure defense practice and a bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully people don't have to go bankrupt. That's like that's the last straw, right?
That is correct.
So, now, loan modification, that's for somebody who is making less or maybe two partners. One is suddenly unemployed. They can't make the payments. So they come to you for loan modification to represent them. What exactly transpires?
Yes, you're correct. A loan modification is applicable to someone that wants to keep their piece of real estate. More times than not, I'm working with a homeowner that's trying to retain their homestead residence. That's really important, and that's one of the first questions I'll ask a potential client. Because there are many more government programs out there for loan modifications that are successful if it's a homestead residence. You can still modify a loan for an investment property, but it's not as easy. And there's just – easy is really not the right word. It's just not as favorable from the lender's perspective. But the process really begins with a consultation with an attorney that does these services for clients and an evaluation of the client's income, assets. And one of the first questions I always ask my clients is, what is your objective with the property? If it's retention, we start talking about loan modification. If they say they just want out and that they need help getting out of it in a legal manner that will tie up loose ends and prevent them from having issues 5 and 10 years from now, we've switched to a discussion about maybe a short sale, or the last option would be a deed in lieu of foreclosure.
Okay, I don't know what the last two are, but let's approach them in a little while. You said something about homesteading makes it more agreeable or beneficial to the loan company or the bank. Why is that? They get favor from the government in the future or what?
I believe there are probably federal programs that have incentives for the lenders to qualify someone with a homestead residence, that being their primary home that they live in, for a loan modification. Some of the programs have qualifications that require it to be a homestead residence for the applicant to qualify for a loan modification. And there just are more programs for the homestead than the investment.
So homesteading is a really good idea in Florida.
Absolutely, and for many reasons. But when you're looking to do a loan modification, certainly.
Yeah. Because I often wonder, why do a lot of wealthy people buy have a homestead here? And that's because they're therefore impervious to their economic up and downs, right?
That's part of it. I mean, there's also, advantages to having your homestead for tax savings, for asset protection. And if you are a Florida resident, there's estate tax savings. So there's many reasons to homestead your property here in Florida and deem yourself a Florida resident under the laws of Florida versus other states.
Now, why would a bank who's loaned you, let's say they loaned you $200,000 for a home. Now, they over a 30-year period, they will make approximately $600,000 total, meaning they're going to triple their money, right? Is that about right?
That sounds accurate.
Okay. So this is presumption on my part. You let me know if this conjecture is valid. So I come along and I'm having trouble paying my $200,000 back. They've already maybe made $150,000, let's say $200,000. They've already doubled their money. I'm presuming the reason they're willing to modify is because they're not going to lose all their money. And secondly, went out of my head. They're going to maintain. Oh, and they don't want to be in the real estate business because if they take your property back, then they have to do something with it, and that's not the business they're in, right?
That's correct. If they don't modify a homeowner's loan and the loan is not sold via what's called a short sale, the bank ultimately has to foreclose out the owner's interest to take back legal title to the property. The mm-hmm. bank then becomes the owner, and just like you or I that own our homes, they're responsible to maintain the property, pay the utilities, pay the insurance, any assessments or HOA dues that may become due. And their banks aren't in the business of owning real estate primarily. That's not what they want to be doing. So a loan modification for the right applicant can be a very favorable outcome for both parties.
Now, you mentioned two other things that we're going to broach that subject, and that is a short sale. What exactly is a short sale?
A short sale is a real estate closing where a lender approves a seller to sell their house for less than they owe the bank. There may be more than one loan on the property. Often my clients have two loans. They'll have a primary loan and a home equity line of credit as a second lien on the home. In those instances, any and all lenders that have liens on that property must agree in writing with, and they'll give us specific approval terms in what's called an approval letter.
Why did they do this? Because it accelerates the process? More people are going to be interested in buying that home at a reduced rate?
Well, they do this because they weigh the options, and at this point, either loan modification wasn't feasible or the client doesn't want to retain the home. Mm-hmm. And the bank's best option then is to look at considering a short sale.
And the benefit of the short sale to the consumer that owns the home is that it won't wreck their credit.
Their credit will be damaged, but it should recover in about 2 years because right. during the process of going through a short sale, most of the clients are in default on their loan, meaning they're not paying their loan mm-hmm. payment because of some sort of a hardship that they have experienced, which has led them to the position they're in. So it's basically a cost-benefit analysis for the bank and the end investor of the bank to determine if they are better off taking less and agreeing to sell the home and then paying off the loan, what they call short, versus letting it run through the foreclosure process, which costs a lot of money and takes sometimes more than a year or two.
Okay, Uncle Al's worth $500 million. They decide to default on their loan. They go into a short sale. What's to keep them to going and saying, hey, you know, we own $500,000, but they're going to give it a short sale for $400,000. So, Uncle, will you come in and buy it at the short sale and then give it back to us?
Well, that is prohibited. That would be considered to be fraud. And at a short sale closing, all parties, including the closing agent, which the closings that I close short, I am the closing agent, the realtors for the buyer and the seller,
that's
and both
fraud?
The buyer and the seller have to sign an arm's length affidavit.
Saying what? They'll never live there?
No, attesting to the fact that this is an arm's length transaction. The parties don't know each other. The parties are not related.
Really? Why would they want to get in the way? What's wrong with Uncle Al getting it and saying, hey, I'm going to let the kids live there?
I don't know what's wrong with that, other than that the banks have deemed that to be fraudulent and they will not do a short sale with related parties, because they don't want the party that just was relieved from the debt back in the house 30 days later. It's just not how it works. You know, we may get to a point with this down the line where banks are just willing to do principal reductions, which would essentially be like a short sale. Only the house wouldn't be sold, but it would be like keeping the owner in the house and just reducing the principal. Because a short sale, they take less for the home, the house is sold, the owner has to move, and they turn around and sell it at today's fair market value, or the house is sold through the short sale at today's fair market value to another party. My clients say to me all the time, why won't the bank just do that with me? Why won't they just rewrite my loan?
Yeah.
They won't. I mean, we will get to that point, but we're not there yet.
Well, I thought that's what the first option was.
That's a loan modification. But in a loan modification, oftentimes you're not seeing a drastic principal reduction. In a short sale, someone could owe $500,000 on their house, but it's only worth $250,000 in today's market.
Yeah.
So that's the short sale contract price. Yeah. So essentially $250,000 has been wiped one way or the other.
Yeah.
The important thing to understand about a short sale, besides the mechanisms of the closing, is to have a competent party perform the closing for you. Because as the seller, there is a lot of liability if you are not released from what is called a deficiency. That is the difference between what the house sells for and what you actually owe on the original promissory note that you signed when you bought that house. So if that part of the deal is not handled, there could be some real ramifications for a seller 5-10 years after a short sale. Right now, in Florida, there's a 5-year statute of limitations for a bank to go back and sue someone for that deficiency if it is not absolved and relieved through the short sale. There's also tax ramifications for debt that is forgiven in a short sale. Up until this beginning calendar year, 2014, for the past several years, homeowners that sold their homestead short were forgiven, let's say you're forgiven $250,000 of debt, that is not taxed to you as income. That was not taxed
to you
as income.
Now it is?
Now it is.
So if you save $200,000, you're going to have to pay $60,000 in taxes.
Depending on your tax bracket, yes, you would pay a percentage. Unless you work with an attorney that understands tax law and or work with a CPA
that
understands taxes. Yes, I do have an understanding of the taxes and these implications. And if you, as the seller, can be deemed to be insolvent by a competent attorney and competent CPA team, there can be some advice made to you that you may not have that tax liability. So just because the Tax Act was not extended in 2014 doesn't mean that if you close a home short and it's your homestead, you're automatically going to be taxed. It's just something you should be advised of and should be aware of and should be asking whoever you're working with.
Okay, we got a lot more to talk to you about, but we're going to take a break. She's Jennifer Pesky. You've been an attorney in town here for how many years? At least 8, isn't it?
I am going into my 9th year.
9th year.
Yes.
Congratulations. Originally from?
I'm from Toledo, Ohio, Midwest.
Okay, married, 2 children. And by the way, we'll also talk about shame when we get back, because people are ashamed of this sort of thing. But a lot of people have had to go through this in life. There are the vicissitudes of life. But as my grandfather used to say, the vicissitudes make for poise and power. And Audubon himself, most people don't know this. Audubon, the guy who did all the drawings of the birds and stuff, was in debtor's prison for 8 years prior to coming to the United States of America. This is the mayor of the airwaves, Jennifer Pesky. If people want to get in touch with you, what's your phone number?
772-231-1233.
And she is on A1A just south of the
Village Beach Market. We're in Pelican Plaza.
A1A just south of the
Village Beach Market. We're in Pelican Plaza.